Welcome to another episode of Mission Compliance, Unleashing Growth Potential for Defense Contractors. Today's episode is extra special because we're pulling back the curtain on one of the biggest milestones we've hit yet at On-Call Compliance Solutions, our successful DIBCAC audit for becoming a certified third-party assessor organization, or C3PAO. Yep, we passed it. First round, perfect score. We're going to take you behind the scenes on how it all went down. The wins, the lessons, and yes, even the surprises. If you're ever wondering what a real CMMC Level 2 DIBCAC audit looks and feels like from the inside, today's your lucky day. So let's jump into what we learned and how it can help you get ready too. We're joined once again today by Mike Frieder, President of On-Call Compliance Solutions and a CMMC Professional Assessor. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Hey, always a pleasure, Roman.
So, Mike, as the intro said, today we're talking. This one's a little bit extra. It's a little bit different. We're talking about the fact that we passed the DIBCAC audit. So it's a very exciting day here at On-Call. At the time of recording this, you're just waiting on the final meeting to confirm that you passed. But as the audit showed you. You did. So we're going to talk about it right away while it's all fresh in your mind. And it's going to be a little bit of an info dump for you as we go through this. So with that being said, what was the biggest key to on-call success in passing the DIBCAC audit on the first try? And how did preparation play a role in that outcome?
Yeah, so the first thing is this was not our first try, and I think we've talked about this a good bit, in YouTube before, and I've been very open about it. One of the things that we decided to do was last year, just about the time where we decided that the window for becoming a third-party assessor, it seemed we were getting feedback from the community that seemed to say, okay. It's not such a quirky one-off kind of experience anymore. They seem to have kind of gotten this better systematized over DIBCAC. Let's go for it, right? So we signed up at the very beginning of 2024. It was not until November that we were able to get assessed and try as we did to really understand the process. And I'll just tell you, this is one thing from my personal experience, from our team's experience. You cannot understand what it is like to go through this by reading the assessment guide. It's impossible. It's not to read the guide and read what is expected of you is not the same thing as to go through an audit, a live fire exercise, if you will, and have to pull data, show screenshots of live systems and all that other kind of stuff. It's not the same. Preparing for it and going through it are not the same. So we had sort of a fortunate, situation, which was that we said, we know we're not going to pass on the first go around of this. This is a learning experience for our team. We want to go through and experience this ourselves on our enclave. Now, what is interesting is this is not, it is not like what defense contractors for the most part go through. It is much, much different, in the sense that defense contractors typically, when they are going through it, they're also not expecting any kind of a perfect pass rate. But to be an assessor, you ultimately do have to pass 110 out of 110 controls, and really more importantly, 320 out of 320 assessment points. So it's a different litmus test for defense contractors than it is for assessors. And so again, our past experience with defense contractors has been it's a hands-on experience. They're kind of working with us hand in glove to, figure out if they've got it, if they don't, and then to, ultimately have us, make the fixes that are necessary. And I just did not find the assessor experience to really quite be the same. So that was kind of interesting. And again, I think we had a much different approach being on the inside instead of sort of assisting the company being assessed as we're so used to doing over the years. So again, last November we went through and we had a scoping problem. We had a problem where we had a security asset that could change settings on one of our systems, and I can fully talk about this now. And because that system did not handle CUI, and because we did not envision, and there is no capability of someone actually remotely accessing, a CUI handling asset through this system, we just didn't scope it in. What we learned during that experience was the assessors, we were open and honest with them. We told them exactly what the system does. And they said, well, can it change settings on a CUI handling asset being one of our systems? We said, well, yes, it's there to do automatic patch management. And they said, well, because this is out of scope, you're going to all of a sudden have this nasty chain reaction of failing control after control after control. It was deeply disappointing because in our head, we did not have anything going on that jeopardized actual security. And it really was it was very upsetting to us. I haven't really spoken publicly about it. I've spoken about, some of our experiences with, having gone through an audit before. I've acknowledged that we failed an audit before. I've acknowledged that we're working on ways to fix that. And I think most C3PAOs, I can't speak for all of them, but I know several C3PAOs who did have to go through this more than once, like we did. But so again, to your question of how do we prepare for it, the way that we prepared for it is backwards. Why is it backwards? Well, we said we're going to go out and get what we have assessed. We're going to figure out what they want out of the assessment, and then we're going to reverse engineer that into a passing methodology. Different than how we approach our defense contractors, different than how we approach a lot of things, but for us, speed and timing was of the essence. I have always maintained and held that whatever the highest level of standard is in this industry that is, was, we were kind of an originating member of, if you will, back in 2016, 2017 when NIST SP800-171 came up. I said, look, whatever the top of this thing is, we're going to be it. That's our attitude. We love working in the defense industry. It's just my favorite industry to work in. It's my favorite client type to work in. We're very passionate about helping these people. They're very mission driven. They're doing something good for the country to keep us safe. And I just honestly think that people at defense companies are the greatest people that we've ever worked with. And as such, we need to be the greatest vendor, the greatest compliance consultant that they've ever worked with, right? That's like our permission to play in this market. So, when the two CMMC tracks came out, one was you can just pay some money, right, and become a quote unquote registered provider organization, which the only thing that really takes is they do a very light background check on the organization. You write them a $5,000-$6,000 check, whatever it is today, and boom, you're an RPO. That's it. That's all it takes. There's no skill there. There's nothing necessary. There's nothing that you don't have to prove you have a compliance system. There's none of that stuff. So I've always maintained that I thought the RPO track was not really a good track for us. I'm not into ego stuff. It's necessary sometimes to have credentials, but I just felt that was the wrong credential. And our company gears defense companies towards passing CMMC certification. So my attitude was simple. I said, number one, I got to walk in your shoes. I got to go be compliant. So we became compliant a number of years ago, from a company-wide perspective. And then I said, we not only need to be compliant, because we don't do defense work directly. I'm sure we're probably listed on many of our clients' contracts because we help them with compliance and cybersecurity and IT support and all that good stuff. But I said, well, we need to really understand what they're going to go through. And to do that, we felt that we needed to become an assessment organization. We needed to be a C3PAO. If that's the one that makes a call about whether you're compliant, we want to be there to help our clients fight fire with fire. And to have an assessor on their side. Because if you're the one doing the assessing, you can't give any advice. You can't consult. You can't even give them so much as a hint about how they get compliant. But I can. And we just really feel like that's the greatest challenge. That's where the most number of defense contractors truly need help, is in becoming compliant, figuring out what it takes. And we wanted to be sure that we really understood this process better than anybody. We started, I mean, we started a long time ago, but so we went through in November, we failed. And unfortunately, we really didn't get a lot of feedback. In fact, actually, that was when we decided to invent our mock assessment program, was out of frustration with what it's like to go through CMMC certification or DIPCAC high audit. They won't tell you why you failed the control in a lot of cases. They cannot consult. Fair enough. That's the rules. But we needed to give somebody an ability to go through this experience and understand where they were failing and understand why they were failing and understand how to fix it. And so that was where a mock assessment product came from. We took about 2 months to 3 months to look at what happened during our original DIPCAC audit, adjust some things in our scope, which was that we really embraced virtual machines within the Azure government environment. We said we're going to use an Azure virtual machine to do our assessment, and we're going to use some GCC high elements like Teams to conduct the meetings. And that's it. We're going to really limit down the scope. But it was important to me. I'll share with the audience. There were offers made by companies who have invented this really interesting enclave methodology through Google solutions. And the solution kind of goes like this. You use a Chromebook and you use some Google solutions that are very locked down in what they can do. You really can't do a whole lot with them. And it was offered to me. I said, like, Mike, we can make you a C3PO. We got a bunch of people that have passed this way. Use this and this lockdown system, and this is how you're going to do assessments. And I looked at it and I went, you know what? Here's the problem with that. I have 1,000 defense contractors I've worked with, and not a single one of them could operate their business if they leveraged nothing but Google solutions and a Chromebook to get work done. These people all use Microsoft Office, they all use PCs. They're in manufacturing, they're in, all kinds of different industries, but like they're operating off Windows networks. Yes, we have a lot of Mac users too, but I don't have anybody. I mean, I didn't have any defense contractors who exclusively used Google Chromebooks and a Google-based system. I'm not knocking that solution, but I looked at that alternative and I just said, you know what? That's not the way I want to go. I get it's the easy button to pass for being a certified third-party assessor, but it's not the way I want to go. I want to be able to get assessed and pass the way my clients will. And that's in a Microsoft environment, particularly GCC High virtual machines, using regular computers as controlled access devices, enrolled into and all that stuff. It's like what almost the entire defense industrial base will eventually go to if they, and most of them already understand that. So, we looked at it and we said, I want to do this the way that all of our clients are set up. And so we said, it's got to be in the Microsoft environment. And we already had it set up and running. So we did wind up going that route of GCC High and Azure Virtual Machines. Honestly, we have an entire Azure Architect division at our company. It's what we do. So from that perspective, we looked at it and we said, we want to do this the right way. We want to do it the same way our clients are going to have to. So we went back through, and I'll share with you that we went through a massive policy expansion. The other challenge that we had, along with a scoping problem, which is easily corrected, by the way, we could have immediately reapplied, gotten back in line with DIPCAC, and just fixed the one silly scoping issue that we had. But we also really had inadequate documentation. We went from 16 to 20 policies to well in excess of 65 different assets. And a lot of it was documentation. And yeah, we really got that nailed down tight. I think our documentation is absolutely the best in the industry. It's so interesting, Roman. The only bad reviews that we have ever gotten in the history of OnCall are reviews by people who say, yeah, OnCall really brought in a templated solution. It was very systematic. And I guess they had some complaints about the idea that we were using a lot of templates. Well, first off, we offer forever support. Literally for like when you become a client of ours, you can ask us quick questions for life, and we tell you, hey, listen, per the rules of CMMC, I can't make this policy yours. I can give it to you, I can customize it to death. But you ultimately have to sign off on this, and you ultimately have to be the person that makes it your own. By the way, I'm standing right here. I have an online meeting with you anytime you want, and we'll help you tailor these policies, but they have to be yours. That's a law, that's a rule of CMMC. So we really walk our clients all the way up to the line in terms of doing it for them until such time as the reality is it's a done with you situation, so that we can make sure that when you're going through, these audits, you know what to say and what to do, and we'll be by your side the whole way. But we went through a tremendous expansion in our documentation process. It's better than it's ever been, and we now know that it'll pass. We knew it would pass before. We've had many DIPCAC audits this year that we've put that through, so that wasn't really a concern. And yeah, we created a very dialed in package for it. How do we prepare? I don't know. We've been preparing since. How do we prepare is backwards. We went and did the first audit, figured out where our weak points were. We essentially kind of leveraged DIPCAC to do a gap analysis on ourselves. That's really kind of a good description of it. Again, a little bit of backwards thinking. Then we fixed it all, came back, and this time was so much different. I mean, it was such a different experience. But so from November to what is it now, August, so about 9 months. We spent, and again, a lot of that was waiting. We had applied 6 months ago, so the reality is it took us 2 to 3 months to really go back through everything, start to finish, get it all fixed up. And I gotta tell you, that's while running a business, right? That's while running a business, putting out all this amazing content for you guys here on YouTube. Again, we run a shop with just about somewhere around 30 people right now. It's busy, so we got to fit that in just like you guys do, right? Just like everybody else in the defense industrial base, we got a business to run too. So again, it took about 3 months. About 3 months of preparation. And then came, the preview. So once we started getting ready to submit evidence, we submitted evidence. We had some pre-meetings with our assessors to run by exactly how the environment was set up. I wanted to make sure that we would be okay. And again, they were very gracious and willing to meet with us before the assessment to just make sure everything made sense. They did make some recommendations on really minor stuff, some diagram revisions. They just like wanted CUI arrows where we didn't have them before. You would not know to do that unless that was specific to the assessor. But again, hey, we'll do whatever we got to do to make the assessors happy. And then aside from that, we then spent a good amount of time doing what you're supposed to do, having risk management meetings, which we do anyway every quarter, going back through the system security plan, objective point by objective point. One of the coolest things for our clients who have been through one of our gap analysis and solution design, consultations with us is we have this amazing evidence worksheet that goes control by control, assessment point by assessment point, and what the expected evidence should be if you're questioned in an audit. It's an absolutely amazing asset. I think it's priceless in this scenario. It is the answers to the audit. It's like an open book test. And so again, everybody should be taking that worksheet. They should be working through it. You can do it all at one time. I think it took me an aggregate of about 24 working hours. So that's pretty cool, right? We have some data on how long it takes to go through all that mess. And it also took us a little bit of time to just, review it all. We started on Monday morning. So anyway, again, I'll halt there because you asked me, what do we do to prep? I know that's a really extensive kind of brain dump of what we went through, but that's really the point, I think, of me asking for this podcast was it's super fresh on my mind. We're a little bit emotional about passing, to be really honest with you. I think, if you are a person who is involved at all in being the person who's responsible at your organization for all this crazy DFARS, NIST, and CMMC stuff, it's okay to be emotional about it, right? This is 2025. At the end of the day, a lot of team members here have put in an unbelievable amount of effort to keep and maintain compliance. And just do the right thing, do what is required of us. And when you can finally get validation on that for yourself, it's an emotional and successful moment. It's a big high five moment. So, yeah, we want to capture that a little bit, but, yeah, let me let you, hopefully I answered that adequately.
Man, that answer was a podcast alone. But no, you're right. This was not our first time in the audit. I blame ChatGPT for getting that question wrong. But and maybe this one kind of trends more, this question kind of trends more toward the first one as well, because as you said, you used the failures from the first audit as kind of a gap analysis to do this one right, so you knew what was coming and stuff. So whether it's specifically talking about this one or the first time you went through it, the second question is, was there a moment during the audit process that really surprised you, something that stood out as unexpected or different than anticipated?
I think there's a lot of them. I think that there's a lot of them. You know, this process is a standardized process, but the reality is that every assessment team will be just a little bit different. I think it matters who your lead assessor is, and you know, to some extent, I think we had two very, very different experiences. And again, I want to refrain from anything negative. I don't think it does any good to share that. But I think the one thing that I will tell you is, if you come in prepared and your documentation is straight, this is not such a stressful process. When we came in and we were not prepared and we were not really sure that we were going to pass on that first round, and in fact, we kind of knew that it was going to be a mess. It was one of the most stressful experiences of my life. I mean, I got to tell you, it's, you know, and we take it probably more personally than most people, but maybe not, you know, I mean, because every organization's got to have someone who's responsible for this stuff as the point person. And it is a very stressful experience to have people questioning you on 320 aspects of information security and how your company is run. And it's very stressful. It's very, very stressful. And you got to come up with screenshots, not screenshots, but like live displays of your system right there in the audit. And it is a very stressful experience. I did not think the first time I went through the DIBCAC audit, I did not think it would be that stressful. I honestly did not. But you know, we got through there and we're like three or four questions into day one, and I'm kind of pooping my pants. I'm like, oh my God, like, is this really what it's like? This is brutal. I don't know how these guys do it every week, frankly, you know, over at DIBCAC. These guys are real champions. But so what is the stress factor? I don't think I could have imagined the stress factor involved. The second one is, I don't think that I understood the first time just how critical the documentation side really is. I just don't think I understood that. And you know, part of that is the evolution of CMMC. You know, it used to be the case that DIBCAC would come in and, you know, they had very highly technical people, and they would come in and look at your systems, and they would evaluate whether you were secure or not. That's kind of like where it originated. As they've had to grow, and as CMMC has become something that's open to having third parties assess defense companies, it makes a lot of sense that this moves towards an evidence-based approach, instead of an are you secure approach of having a high level person really give sign off to that like they did in the early days. So, you know, ultimately we've experienced the shift, and we really, really have now got it right and experienced the shift in that it is very, very heavily documentation based. Two-thirds of passing is all down to documentation. The other third is obviously interviews and demonstrations. But I just really, you know, I'll tell you that I think that unless you've been through it before, you're going to probably underestimate the level of documentation required. There again, this is a place where I think that on-call has always had a very strong suit, and now it's like impenetrable. I mean, it's just, we kill it. We come in with so much documentation covering every aspect of what needs to be covered. And I'll tell you that some of it is just not intuitive. We got hung up, even in this audit, on a control. 311-1B, I think it was. And even though, you know, we had a very niched out enclave that we had assessed, right? It was very well defined. It was not the entire company. You know, that control dealt with risk management of the organization as a whole. And, you know, thankfully we take part in those activities, and we were able to demonstrate evidence in the end. But what we did not anticipate was, we did not anticipate that, despite that in our thought process being out of scope, you know, that control calls it back into scope, you know, our entire company, how we manage risk, because our entire company is what's operating the enclave. You could not get all of that from the wording of the assessment objective. You just, I'm sure somebody at DIPCAC probably argue with me, and as I say often on this podcast, I'm not perfect, but I truly believe as much as we go through these controls week in and week out, for years and years and years we've done this, I've never drawn that conclusion in an enclave scenario. And I won't call it a new, and again, they gave evidence. There's a whole nother standard, NIST 800-30, that talks about organizational risk management and assessment. And again, we were able to produce, organization-wide evidence on that and demonstrate that we're doing it and all that kind of stuff, a little bit messy. And we've now revised our process for future audits on how we're going to do that. But again, it's just one of those situations where the documentation is so robust that's required. And even when you're going to enclave, there's certain aspects that still really aren't enclavable, if you will, right? Your whole company is going to operate that enclave. And so risk has to be managed there too. So I think that was unexpected. I think, while we did pass at the end, it was a challenge. It was an unexpected challenge. Just did not really expect the risk management of the entire company to wind up coming into play for an enclave. So you have to be really careful about that kind of stuff. And I think it's at that point where you begin to realize, Roman, you begin to realize that you just about need someone with our level experience to really have a chance at passing this thing. Otherwise, you will have what we had the first time, which was run as fast as you can straight into a brick wall. There's just some of this stuff that is just not going to be intuitive. It's not going to be on the surface. You've got to go dig through the discussion in the assessment guide that calls out another NIST standard called 830. And I just don't know any defense contractors that have the time, certainly the majority don't, to be able to dig that deep through the documentation. And even then, to know that you're going three, four, five layers deep through even different NIST standards like they do on the FIPS validation, that's a whole nother one, and trying to then make sure you actually got it right. I mean, one of my favorite mentors, his name is Alex Hormozi. He's a big entrepreneurial guy. He talks about the concept of paying down the ignorance tax. And I think this is where you start to really dive into how OnCall has been such a unicorn in the market, being able to help people achieve what they need to achieve with compliance in a matter of days, and really setting them up for success. And it's because of that level of experience, and it's because of these unique things that we go through that absolutely set us apart from anyone else who you're going to work with, who certainly at least is not, on the C3PAO level. Again, if they haven't been through all of these trials and tribulations and banged their head against the wall, just like you're going to have to, I don't know how you can trust them. I don't think I could possibly recommend it. I mean, at this point now, having gone through it, I don't know. I just don't know how you can really know you're even doing a good job for your clients unless you've achieved this level and have a demonstrated system and understanding of being an assessor to help someone pass an assessment. To me, this is going to be the new gold standard. So I think that's another element of realization is the level of understanding and knowledge around this that it actually takes to get someone to pass. It's just seemingly higher than it's ever been. Again, we don't speak negatively about other people, but what I would advise heavily is, if they're not a certified third party assessing organization, it's like tough to really. It's tough to really feel good about who you're hiring to help you with this. You need some kind of credential that isn't just one you can buy like an RPO. Again, 5 grand, I can go be an RPO tomorrow with zero experience. Even to the extent that you are a lead assessor. I'm a lead assessor. I've implemented this stuff across hundreds of systems with my team here. But even lead assessors are nothing more than a textbook in passing a standardized test. So I'll tell you that we've run across a fair number of lead assessors who even have the questions and don't have the experience. So I think For me, if I'm shopping around out there for someone to help me, I want someone with a demonstrated ability to walk the walk, who's got a system that they can point out and go, yep, I passed all the controls. I passed it 100%. There's no deficiencies hanging out here. And that they have the knowledge of assessment that you're going to need to pass an assessment. Just kind of makes sense when you say it, really. So that was, I think that's another thing is, now that we're here and now that we've gone through this process, it's almost hard to imagine really not having gone through the assessment process and really being someone who is super credible to have that experience to help them pass. Now, look, this whole thing's new, all right? So there's not very many companies around that do this. And I'll say, as a matter of fact, I think at last count there was like 65, on call maybe being somewhere in the 60s, late 60s. But yeah, I just, I think that's a revelation as well. Other than that, Roman, I'll tell you, there's countless revelations about the individual controls and things like that. I mean, I could spend all day talking about it, obviously, but I want to keep the podcast to a reasonable length. But there's so much to dig into that's, expected, unexpected, what the assessors look for, what they didn't care so much about. I think one last thing that I will kind of touch on is something I'm very passionate about. We try very hard to do this the right way and walk this line about things that are cost effective. Now, here's an example. Not everybody has to have an Office 365 G5 license or an M365 G, an M365, whatever the Microsoft M5 license. It is not necessary to pass an audit. I'm living evidence of that, okay? But there are a lot of companies out there forcing and pigeonholing clients into those top-tier, most expensive licensing options. Why? Well, because a lot of them are selling the licensing too. We sell the licensing. We don't mandate you go into the most expensive licensing. It's not, I'm telling you right now, it's not necessary. The word DLP was brought up one time during our audit, and we had a compensating control that got looked at and passed the control, so it really never got looked at. So purview and sensitivity labeling don't need that either. I will tell you that there is a control, one control that deals with marking. We said no problem. Go look at the top of our SSP, and you're going to see the word CUI. And sure enough, there it was, and that's labeling. So I think that there's a tremendous amount of misinformation, overselling, over-licensing. And guys, that over-licensing, oh my gosh, it is like so expensive because you're not just paying for it once, you're going to pay for it forever. You're going to get on this expensive license that could be as the cost could be hundreds of dollars per year per user. It could literally be tens of thousands of dollars a year easily in a mid-sized organization that you just don't need to spend. It's a waste. And it can overcomplicate your setup and what's required to pass for compliance. So I think in that regard, this is another revelation, which is, wait a minute, we've always said this, compliance does not have to be that hard. It doesn't. It just doesn't need to be that hard. That's where on-call really comes in. Simplification, making it easy, bringing the documentation to the table you need, greatly, greatly shrinking the footprint of what is needed by your organization to be able to comply with this stuff. That's another revelation. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you one more, and then we'll end, because I could go on forever. And again, this is a fresh brain dump, right afterwards. But I will share with you one other thing. Let me think if I can bring this to the top of my mind. Oh, the time it took. The time it took. So we get, oh my God, raked across the coals sometimes on the internet. Which, by the way, I've been holding back so hard, Roman. We have like two pieces of negative feedback with over 1,000 clients served. We're pretty sure those pieces of negative feedback, at least in part, are fake. One of them came a day after, a termination. I don't want to talk about it, but Again, we suspect that there's some foul play involved there. And the other one, the person was never a client of ours, so like I can't figure it out. We've held back from responding to these people. Look, if you own a business or you're involved in a business, negative feedback is something you have to deal with. Our policy has always been, we're going to sit back. We're going to not respond to weird social media posts from the depths of Reddit. Reddit is very questionable in itself when it comes to credibility. Again, you can be anonymous on Reddit. It's super annoying. People can say anything they want. And again, Reddit's got its place, right? So if you're a person who goes to Reddit for their news, I would probably, really encourage you to hire an expert first. But nonetheless, again, nothing negative, but it is a little frustrating. It took us 2.25 days, start to finish, with the DibCAC team to run through all of our controls. 2.25 days. That's it. Now, I'll tell you, I have a meeting in a half hour that's a closeout meeting with the team, where we will, again, confirm findings and they'll do their out brief and all that other good stuff, hot wash. But, again, we just, it's, I get it. It's like bad for the industry if we say, hey guys, this can be done in a couple of days. I'll also tell you that earlier today I mentioned this. I ran through every single control and came up with evidence for every single control in under 24 hours of working time. None of this has to be that hard. But boy, does our competition sure want to make it complicated. And they want to make it expensive. And they want to make it hard to deal with. And I'm just telling our audience because, at the end of the day, our mission is to deliver affordable cybersecurity and compliance solutions for the defense industrial base and for anyone else who needs it. We have a lot of aerospace clients as well, NASA clients, again, even Department of Energy folks that come to us for compliance help and information technology, security, et cetera. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, it takes 3 days, maybe an extra half a day for a practice test to go out and get your CMMC lead assessor. That's how long the boot camps are. Your RP can be done in hours. Your CCP can be done that same 3.5 days. Our consultations are very typically 2 to 3 days. Sometimes there's a fourth day if it's a larger enterprise with some complexity, where we have to go visit extra locations. And the whole DibCAC audit, the whole CMMC level 2 C3PAO audit, 2.25 days. If you got your stuff together and your evidence is where it needs to be, I don't even think we had an aggregate of more than 4 or 5 or 6 hours in pre-work with DibCAC before this. It doesn't have to be that complicated. And if you're working with a consultant who tells you it's really complicated and it's going to take 6 to 12 or 24 months, something's wrong. You can be doing better. You can get it done in a quicker amount of time. You can get it done probably for less money and probably, honestly, a lot less effort on your part, by leveraging our methodologies here at OnCall. And yes, we are unique in this space for that. And yes, if there's parts of compliance that you can't perform, we can definitely provide it through you through our managed services. But I'm just, again, these are real times. I literally actually, I stopped the DibCAC meeting. I said, hey, lead assessor, I want to verify with you and this whole assessment team, we're at about day 2.25. We're done with all the controls. We've met all the control requirements, demonstrate all of our evidence, all that good stuff. I just want to confirm with you guys that you're seeing the same thing I did because I'm going to say it publicly. I'm going to say it all over our advertising. 2.25 days. Do you agree? Yes. 2.25 days. Full blown. And that's for an assessor. Okay. This isn't even for a defense company. That is for, a full blown top tier DibCAC, done C3PAO audit. So yeah, I think that's another thing that is just cannot really be understated is there's so many people out there on the internet who don't really understand this stuff, didn't read the directions, so-called self-proclaimed experts. And I'm sorry, but the government just wouldn't, they wouldn't require this of every single defense company in the world if it was something so complex that it just couldn't be done. Now, of course, we have an advantage. 6, 7 years and a massive team developing our materials. But you can just buy that from us, right? I mean, it's really like the cost of entry, especially if you're a micro-sized company, it's not very much. So again, I think that's, we can stop there, Roman. That's, but those are, man, you want to talk about unexpected. I didn't think we would be done in 2.25 days. The biggest problem we have is trying to figure out if the Dibcac super duper supervisor lead guy is even available this early, to sign off on everything. They're doing some quality assurance exercises right now, and I just, but again, that's the time it took. So I know if Dibcac can assess us in 2.25 days, I know that we're on the right track, and I want to put that information out there because I've never seen anyone on the internet talk about a Dibcac audit before, and we are an open book. I think we have to be. Defense contractors have to go past this stuff, and when it comes to CMMC, it's the same thing, right? So I don't think that these things are going to just, they're not going to be that hard. Now, look, let me stop there. Let me, because we got question three. We got, I'm amped up, man. I'm psyched.
Yeah. So you've already answered this last question ad nauseum. So, but I'm gonna ask it again. So just give like a nice, three sentence button on these questions, and then we'll move on to the silly question. But now that you've been through this yourself twice, what advice would you give to defense contractors preparing for their own level two assessment?
I look, you want to talk about advice? A lot of advice. I think I've been giving advice the whole podcast. What's the biggest advice? I'll tell you what. The biggest piece of advice is pay down the ignorance tax. I'll pass it on. I'm totally stealing that from Alex Hormozi. You can bang your head against the wall for years on this. And I would tell you that the majority of people who are calling into us these days have done exactly that. I'm
All right.
super stoked about the fact that we've passed, we've passed the audit. Again, we have to wait for the Cyber AB and all that good stuff to do all the paperwork processing, but we're there. I would just say this: you got a business to run, right? If you're in the defense industry, you got a business to run, and you got business to go out there and win. Whether, maybe you're an IT director and you've got an IT department to run. This is just one of those situations where you can pay down the ignorance tax far less expensively through on-call than you can hire somebody, than you can use internal time. Oh my God, it's so expensive. And to be honest with you, we're so cheap. I mean, I think about the man hours that it's required of us internally over the last 7 years to build the program to where it is today, and someone can just walk in and buy this thing. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, and Roman, that's what makes me feel super good every day I wake up, is knowing that we are providing the defense industry with unbelievable value in a way that is granular, that we adapt to whatever level of help they need. And, it just feels good to be able to do that for our defense contractors, So that's it. You don't have to bang your head against the wall. You don't have to figure it out yourself. Pay down the ignorance tax. Let us come help you. That's the number one piece of advice I could give. I got to tell you, I buy so much business coaching. We have such a large and growing team here at OnCall. I don't try to do anything myself. I ask for help in every aspect of our lives here at OnCall. I ask for help. We even reach out to the government when we have questions on things. So, shouldn't you do that yourself? And again, our team is really, really good. If you need help convincing your boss, of that, hey, look, show them this podcast, or take an excerpt. I'm sure we'll do some shorts on this thing, but talk to our sales team. Again, I say sales team, but every one of them is at least a registered practitioner, and they all understand compliance. Self-schedule through one of our websites like cmmccompliancesecrets.com or NIST800-101compliance.com. Just go to one of those websites, self-schedule some time with us. We'll help you through it. But I really like that's the phrase is paying down the ignorance tax. That's the best way that we can help.
All right, we're running a little bit long here, but before we wrap it up, we're going to get to our silly question as usual. So this one goes in line. We talk a lot about superheroes. We talk a lot about movies on this podcast. It's things we like, so our silly questions reflect that. And this silly question is about movies. And this does give examples, so you don't have to pick one. But if you want to, you can. If you want to come up with something else, you can. If your audit experience were turned into a Hollywood movie, what would the title be? And who would play the DIBCAC assessor? Examples. Would it be Mission Compliance Possible, starring Tommy Lee Jones as the ultra serious assessor, or The Policy Awakens, featuring Morgan Freeman narrating your SSP, or something else?
It's been a really long time since I've seen the movie. See, that's the problem is I'm a really big Quentin Tarantino fan, but the problem is everybody's dead at the end of the movie. But I'll try. I think we would be a little bit like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Hey.
It's like, and like On Call is kind of like Brad Pitt, completely selflessly, by the way. But we'll assume the role of Brad Pitt in that movie. And I mean, like, again, if you, is that the right movie? I don't think it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What's the one where Brad Pitt's on a bullet train?
Bullet train.
Is that it? Is
Yeah,
that
but it's
the?
not. He did one called Bullet Train. He is in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which was directed by Quentin Tarantino. But he was also in a movie called Bullet Train that was not directed by Quentin Tarantino, but it was
Well,
literally then the name of the movie.
maybe it's the bullet train movie then. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just imagining, us as the superhero that's basically on this bullet train, and it's like there's so many deadlines with this stuff. I mean, our defense clients are on a bullet train, to what we think in October is going to be CMMC, becoming a requirement of their businesses. In that respect, pretty incredible stuff, right? I think. We're on a bullet train and there's all kinds of bad guys, and I'm not saying the assessors are bad guys. So that's really like a bad that's because actually I have to tell you, even the first experience that was rough, it's rough because it was our fault. And it was our fault because we went in there as soon as we could, bull in China shop, which is the way I like to operate sometimes, and got our butt handed to us, but the lessons were clear. You're on a bullet train and you're having, one bad guy after another, one compliance control after another thrown at you, and you got to survive it all in the middle of a speeding train, which is this CMMC deadline to when it starts becoming necessary for defense work. And it's an incredible it's I mean, what a journey. Like that's I really like I think that movie is very much, a great scenario. And then, again, towards the end of the movie, I don't remember if the train stops or whatever it is, but it's stopping some disaster of some sort. And, here we are kind of crash landing at the end of the movie, having passed all of the controls, passed DIBCAC audit, raising our hands in victory, if you will, saving the world, whatever. But I mean, that's really what it boils down to is saving the world and just trying to help these defense contractors get compliant. The root of it all is so they can be more secure, particularly with controlled unclassified information, our nation's secrets, how we go about things, and making sure that they don't fall into the wrong hands, blow up, and that their businesses don't blow up from being hacked and attacked. It's serious stuff. So I think bullet train is a really great analogy because the train's not stopping, CMMC is coming, there's nothing you can do to stop it, and you better get your stuff in gear and save the world. I mean, that's like how it feels like to be at On Call.
All right. I also heard parts of your description that sounded suspiciously like the movie Speed, from 1995. But I got maybe a little bit of a cleaner analogy for you. I also thought about the movie Seven, which I could stretch into an example, but I won't. But I'm gonna use we were talking about superheroes. I'm gonna use Infinity War, because if you look at Thanos in Infinity War. Granted, he's the villain. That's not what we're talking about here. But his goal, he could not accomplish his goal until he received all of the Infinity Stones. They all did something different, but he could only accomplish his goal, which was to which was to wipe out a half of the world's population with the snap of his fingers. He could only accomplish that if he had all of the Infinity Stones inside the Infinity Gauntlet. And until he had them all, it would not work. So, when you go through a DibCac audit, and when you pass a DibCac audit, it is because you have met every single one of these controls, or 110 Infinity Stones, and therefore you are now able to accomplish the goal of moving forward, of being able to pass the audit, of being able to do the thing. You can snap your fingers and be compliant. There you go. And that's how you make a clean analogy right there.
I love it. I love
And that wraps up another episode of Mission Compliance. We hope our discussion today has provided you with valuable insights, practical strategies, and inspiration to navigate the ever-evolving world of defense. We'd like to thank Mike for joining us and talking about the very special, very important topic of pending the final judgment here in just a few minutes, finally passing that DibCAC audit. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And more episodes to come on this as we, enter the wonderful world of being a certified third-party assessor. I think there's not enough information about this process being put out there publicly, and we're going to do it. We're going to let you guys know what it's like. And ultimately, we appreciate, I got to tell you, I get contacted so often by folks who are looking at careers in cybersecurity and CMMC and all this good stuff. And it's a privilege to talk to these folks, and I know you guys are following our journey as well. I just want to say, if you're listening to this podcast still, I know this has been a long one, but just know we love you and we appreciate you. We appreciate you guys just dialing in and being a part of our journey to make the defense industrial base a much better and more secure place. We appreciate what you do as well.
Conversation doesn't end here. We encourage you to continue exploring these topics and connect with us via our social media channels. Share your thoughts, ask questions, and engage with fellow listeners using the hashtag Mission Compliance Podcast. If they haven't already, what should they do, Mike?
They should like, subscribe, and definitely tell a friend and fellow defense contractor about our podcast so they can get the latest compliance content as we continue to roll it out.
That's right. By hitting subscribe, like, or follow on your favorite podcast platform, it lets you know when new episodes like this one are released. And we truly appreciate if you could take a moment to rate and review the show. Your feedback helps us to continue to bring you thought-provoking episodes and high-quality content. Join us next time as we delve further into the dynamic world of defense, security, and industry innovation. Until then, take care, stay informed, and make compliance your mission. See you next time.
Thanks, everybody.